I hereby declare the result of the East Twittering by-election. Mr. Harvey Trentwater, 18,742. Lady Markham, 3.
I demand a recount.
Whenever it's summer, have your fun. Dive in the nearest pool. Never go out in the midday sun. Just play it cool. Clothes will always be worn, of course. That is the golden rule. Ready to dive up on that horseshoe. Play it cool. Be calm and collected. Look before you leap each day. Never do what's expected. At least never do it right away. Life is a challenge, so they say. It can be kind of cruel. So be prepared in every way. It's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. Not how you play, it's the way that you play it. Play it cool.
How do you do?
This is Ian Carmichael welcoming you to the last in our short series of Play It Cool. You know, I knew an old station master once who actually used to live in the signal box above the platform of the station where he worked. He'd lived there for years, and then one day he decided to get married. But he'd become so attached to the little signal box above the platform that he thought he'd hold his wedding reception there. Which wasn't such a good idea, really, because it was only a crudely constructed sort of place, and, well, with so many guests, the whole place suddenly collapsed. Bad luck, really, but it only goes to show that you should never marry above your station. However, to proceed with the show.
Just a minute.
Yeah, what is it, you?
Well, as this is the last show of a series, I thought that perhaps we should do something to show our gratitude to our producer.
I absolutely agree. What a marvellous idea. Look, I'll tell you what. After the show, as we leave...
Yeah.
Nod to him.
No. He wants more than that. I mean, he is very important to the show. But how many listeners even know his name? You stop anybody in the street and ask who's the producer of Play It Cool, and how many would answer Mervyn Pod?
Well, no one, I should think. His name's John Simmons.
John Simmons? He's the producer?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what does Mervyn Pod do?
Well, he's the studio boiler man.
What? Well, of all the...
What on earth is the matter?
But he led me to... Ian, ever since the series started, I've been weeding his garden. But what did you say the producer's name was?
Yeah, John Simmons. You must have seen him about. He's the chap in the BBC suit.
BBC suit?
Yes, very small checks.
Yeah, but anyway, I think we should have a whip round and buy him a farewell present. Now, here's a cocoa tin. Come on, Ian, you start.
Oh, right. Let's see what change I've got in my pocket. Oh, Lord, I've only got silver.
Oh, well, never mind. It's a good cause. No. Give till it hurts.
Oh, all right.
Well?
It's starting to hurt.
Well, at least we've got the ball rolling. Let's get the others in on it. Mike Sams?
Yes, what's up?
A subscription for our producer.
Oh, yes, certainly. Nice chap, that Mervyn Pod.
John Simmons is the producer. Now, all right for five, Bob?
Are you sure about this? That bloke, the one sitting up the back there, he's the producer?
Yes.
3 and 6.
Oh, well, thanks, Mike. Now, let's...
Hello, you two.
It's Joan Sims.
Just the person we want.
Look, as this is the last show, don't you think something should be done about the producer?
Now, that's just what we've been saying.
Good. It's time somebody complained.
Complained?
Well, for one thing, the way he barges into my dressing room without knocking, I tell you straight, if he wasn't the producer, he'd get my shoe round that ginger head of his.
Ginger? Yeah, but Joan, John is dark.
Dark? Then who?
Mervyn Pod strikes again.
Well, come along. Now, how about it, Joan?
Yes, of course.
Oh, good.
Now, let's see how much we've got in all. £1, £1, £9 and threepence halfpenny. That's not bad. All right. What are we going to go out and buy him with it?
We can't buy anything. There are no shops open at this time, only delicatessen.
Yeah, well, that'll do. We'll present him with a bucket full of potato salad.
Yes, it's not really suitable. Why don't we just give him the money?
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah, all right,
yes,
then.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll call him over, shall we? John?
Yes?
John, would you come over to the artist's quarter for a moment?
What is it, Ian? What are you all standing around here for? Shouldn't you be broadcasting or something?
Now, John, just a second. Look, we have a little something to show our appreciation here. Now, from all of us to you. Here.
These coins? For me?
Poor chap, he's never seen so much in one lump before.
Oh, don't worry, John. We'll provide you with an escort home.
No, it's not that. You see, well, I'm afraid there's a BBC ruling about this. Producers must not accept gifts of money from artists in their employ.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But it's collected now. What are we going to do with it?
Well, there's one suggestion I could make.
Yeah, that'll be enough.
But there's no rule about scriptwriters not accepting money. Why not give it to him?
All right.
Good idea.
No, not a bad idea. All right, John, get him up here.
Right. Oh, Mervyn. Yeah. Mervyn Pod.
And now, here is Gladys Pod, alias Rosemary Squires.
Salt Lake City haunts me, how that city taunts me. Night and day I find that Salt Lake City's on my mind. Oh, I lost my sugar in Salt Lake City. Oh, why did I go there? I should have stayed down in New Orleans and never gone nowhere. Oh, a gal with sweet talk from Kansas City. Her words were sweet like wine. She bought him diamonds and limousines, and she stole that man of mine. When night comes a-creeping, for me there'll be no sleeping. What he sows, he'll be reaping, 'cause he done me wrong. Well, I cried my heart out in Salt Lake City the day I heard the news. He left me deep in my solitude with those Salt Lake City blues. What he sows, he'll be reaping, 'cause he done me wrong. When I cried my heart out on the day that I heard the news. He left me deep in my solitude with the Salt Lake City blues. Salt Lake City haunts me, how that city taunts me. I find I got the Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City blue.
Well, now, have you ever seen those True Confessions of the Film Stars type magazines? There are hundreds of them about on the bookstores, and they specialize in revealing the facts behind how great film stars first get into films. But there's one story that they haven't told. The story of Dirk Mills. And so it is told for us now by the famous film director, Herbert Philpotts.
Herbert Philpotts speaking. For 50 years, we in the Film Institute have been making films,
But behind the glittering facade of this celluloid paradise, there lies a tangled web of lust, greed, hatred, revenge, corruption, brutality, and intrigue, to name but a few. The story I'm about to reveal is true. Only the plot, characters, and dialogue have been changed to make it interesting. It all started one day down at Pine Tree Studios, where I was directing a film called Thread of Arabia. It was a desert film.
Sand, sand, nothing but sand. Grant, my darling, I just can't go on.
Darling, don't give up. We can carry on. Together in the heat of the desert, even without water, we must remember what lies out there ahead for both of us.
It's no good. I must have something to drink.
How about a nice cup of tea?
What's that tea wagon doing in the middle of my desert? Say, you, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Philpott. It's just that, well, in this studio, it's easy to get into the wrong set. Anyway, I don't like the way that that chap's acting.
All right. Let's see if you can do any better. Give him a script, somebody. Okay, Gloria, you take it from your line.
Sand, sand, nothing but sand. Grant, my darling, I just can't go on.
Darling, don't. Give up. We can carry on together in the heat of the desert. Even without water. We must remember what lies out there. Ahead for both of us.
It's incredible. You gave those lines a meaning they've never had before. Who are you?
My name is Dirk Millington Heppelthwaite Charmless Mive.
Heavens, is that your name? It sounds more like a railway station in Wales.
Yes, well, we'll have to change it.
Why?
We couldn't possibly put that name up in lights. It cost a fortune in light bulbs.
Then you're going to give him a chance in film?
Yes, but we must think of another name. Now, where's my publicity agent?
Did you want me, Mr. Philpott?
Who are you?
I'm Harry, your publicity agent.
Harry, I've never heard of him.
No, well, I'm not a very good publicity agent.
Why did I hire you?
I'm your brother.
Is this chap here, Dirk Millington Heppelthwaite Chummy Smythe? I want to make him a big name.
You're joking, of course.
Well, we must have something the public will remember. A name that'll be on everyone's lips.
How about Dirk Moustache?
Well, why not just abbreviate it? You know, make it Dirk Mills.
Dirk Mills. Dirk Mills. Dirk Mills. Where have I heard that name before?
Well, you keep saying it.
That's where I've heard it. Yes, it's a good name. I'm glad I thought of it.
Hobbit, has he got any talent?
Talent? Why, I've got more talent in my little finger than Peter Finch has in... Well, in his little finger.
Well, then put his little finger under contract.
I tell you, this boy will be surefire, gilt-edged box office.
S-U-double-C-E-double-S.
Yes, he spells success. Dirk, we're going to build you into a star, and it won't be long before the public will look up at that screen and see so-and-so starring so-and-so with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
And I'll be up there, the biggest so-and-so of all.
Harry, get busy with the publicity. By tomorrow morning, I want this story on every breakfast table.
All right, I'll make it a serial.
In 5 years, he became a star overnight.
But on his way to the top, he trod on everybody.
He wasn't ruthless, just terribly clumsy.
To women, he was irresistible.
Oh, Dirk, my arms are aching for you. My heart trembles for you. My lips are burning for your hot, passionate kisses.
Oh, stop nagging.
He was riding high. Parties, gambling, champagne suppers, darts outings. His life was one gay, mad whirl of excitement. But little did he realize that all good flings must come to an end.
Oh, Dirk, marry me.
No, Gloria.
Oh, go on, just this once.
Where's that no-good, low-down, two-timing bit, Claire?
Mr. Philpott, that is no way to talk about Gloria.
I am talking about you. Now, listen, Dirk. I want to speak to you about your last picture.
Well, what about it?
It is your last picture. Tearing up your contract.
But you can't tear up my contract. It's cast iron.
Then we'll melt it down. By the time I've finished with you, you won't get a job as a stand-in to a stand-in stand-in.
Oh, so that's what it's come to, has it? Stand-in room only. Now, please, Mr. Philpotts. Oh, Herbert, if I may so refer to you. You just can't forget all those pictures I made for you.
Why not? The public has.
Herbert, please give me a break. I'm only asking for a chance to make a fresh start.
Well, all right. For the sake of old time. But you'll be on the lot at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. All right, everybody. Places for the balcony scene. Take it from your line, Gloria. Camera. Roll them. Action.
Oh, what a breathless night. I have the moon to light my way, the stars to be my friends, the scent of roses to kiss my blushing cheek. What more could I ask for?
How about a nice cup of tea?
Get that tea wagon out of my balcony!
When an irresistible force such as you meets an old immovable object like me, you can bet your ass you live. Something's gotta give, something's got to give. When an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an old implacable heart such as mine. Don't say no, 'cause I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be kissed. So on guard, who knows what the fates have in store from their vast, mysterious sky. I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. Heavenly star-spangled night, we'll find out sure as we live. Something's gotta give, something's got to give. History, when that sage first rocked the nation with his observations of irresistible forces, he never saw anything wrong in it, never thought we'd find a song in it, which goes to show you can't be too careful now. So on guard,
baby, on your guard.
Who knows what the fates have in store from their vast, mysterious sky. I'll try hard. With all of our might, chances are some heavenly star-spangled night, we'll find out sure as we live.
Thank you, the Mike Sam Singers. Well, there have been many biographies of famous show business personalities, but no one has yet done the life story of the great man whose quattrocentenary we celebrate this year.
Yes, it's William Shakespeare, actor, playwright, lyric writer. Shakespeare, the Lionel Bart of the 16th century.
Let us therefore, in true show business fashion, give you the Shakespeare story.
We present A Guy Called Will. Or give my regards to Stratford Broadway. It
It is Elizabethan England, a lusty era of extravagant dress where all the men looked like Rolling Stones. Drake, Raleigh, Columbus had all made important discoveries, and the Virgin Queen apparently hadn't. In a little cottage in Stratford-upon-Avon, a young, out-of-work scriptwriter sat burning the midnight candle.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well. A fellow of, A fellow of a load of filthy stories? No, that doesn't sound right. I've got it, yes. A fellow of infinite jest. Yes, a splendid, a most excellent fancy.
Oh, Will?
Ah, 'tis Anne Hathaway. And she certainly hath. Come in, beloved.
Hello, Will. Busy?
Ah, yea, verily. I'm up to me rufflets in it. Ah, but stay a while, stay a while. Come hither and givest thou me a plonker.
Now, Will, stop it, Will. Will, you're tickling me with your quill, Will.
Oh, Will. All right, I'll put down my pen then.
Will, I have just heard from your agent concerning the taming of the shrew.
Ah, yes, the play's the thing. What did he say?
Is this thing a play? And what is more, will they have turned down your latest sonnet?
Ah, that is the third lyric those music publishers have rejected. You know there's something rotten in the state of Denmark Street.
Never mind, Will. One day the world will recognize your genius.
Ah, sweet words of comfort, dear Anne. But I'm dismayed. Sometimes would I fain chuck the whole thing in, fain I would still. Here, comfort me.
Dear heart. Mm. Don't give up. I say, Will, thou art getting a trifle fat round the mids.
Ah, alas, I know. Ah, that this too solid flesh would melt.
Well, that's a good line.
Yes, I've used it in Hamlet. Yes, it should get a belter. Anyway, what is the use?
Take heart, Will. I do have some good news. We are going to London to meet the famous actor, Richard Burbage. He is interested in one of your plays.
Ah, now, which one?
The one you wrote about the first night of a honeymoon.
Ah, you mean Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes, we leave tomorrow. I have booked us in at the Mermaid Tavern. I think we have room 2B.
Yeah, well, aren't you sure?
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Here, you've been peeking at my manuscript. Oh, and I love you truly. I've always loved you. In fact, when we first met, I wrote about you on a tree.
What didst thou write?
I'm that-a-way about Hathaway. Come on, let us both have a nightcap.
Thank you, I'll have the striped woolly one. Then tomorrow, London.
The Mermaid Tavern, mecca of Elizabethan show business. There would gather Shakespeare's contemporaries, Marlowe, Ben Jonson, and of course, Francis Bacon.
But I keep telling you all, I wrote Macbeth. I wrote all his plays, even the ones he hasn't written yet. And nobody believes me.
Yes, all right, Streaker. Heard your heart. Now leave us alone, there's a good chap.
Oh, but you've not heard my most recent poem. I penned it just this morrow. 'Tis a masterly piece of English prose.
Oh, very well, read it all.
There was a young lady of Stratford who
Yes, it's quite. Go away.
There you are, good Master Burbage. I am Anne Hathaway. Dost thou know my boyfriend, Will?
I don't blame him. So you are Anne Hathaway. Indeed, I've often passed your cottage. It's the one with a notice that says bed and bath, 3 and 6. And this must be Shakespeare.
Good morrow, Mr. Garbage.
Burbage.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Richard Burbage, no doubt you've seen me in the Globe.
You're not a goldfish.
Well, the Globe Theatre, it is a famous theatre. They pulled down a block of offices to build it. And Mr. Burbage owns it, presents plays, and acts in them himself.
Really? Well, thou art a veritable little Bernard Miles, aren't thou?
Oh, what an honor it would be if such an actor was to perform one of Will's plays.
Oh, indeed, would. And methinks you're just the chap to put the ham in Hamlet.
Hast thou had a chance to read the plays sent to you?
Yea, verily I have. They're not bad, Shakespeare, not bad at all. That's King Lear. It's no one for the pot, mind you, but it's not bad. By the way, all those plays about the English kings, they're all divided into two or three parts. Why?
Well, I thought I'd better leave room for the commercials.
Oh, kind sir, then you'll do Will's plays.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Drawbridge.
Bam!
I'm sorry. Now, tell me, what is your favorite play of mine?
As You Like It, that one about the woman riding through the streets on a horse in the New England.
That's not As You Like It.
It's How I Like
It. Oh, Will, this is all so exciting. Let us celebrate.
Ah, good suggestion. The drinks are on me. Come, let us all get Titus Andronicus.
So began an association that was to keep the Globe Theatre filled for years. One after another came Shakespeare's hit.
Twelfth Night.
Hamlet.
A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Son of Hamlet.
Hamlet in the House.
Hamlet at Sea.
Carry on, Hamlet.
Yes, they were the great shows. And who will ever forget the hit song?
I'm just a fellow with an umbrella.
The stirring chorus song from Hamlet.
There is nothing like a dame.
The Three Witches from Macbeth.
Sisters, sisters, there
were
never such
devoted sisters. Hey, verily I became rich and famous. But I was not happy.
What is the matter, Will?
I'm having trouble with my latest play, and... oh, this blessed plot. You know, I cannot concentrate here in London.
Then let us return to Stratford, just the two of us. And who knows? One day soon, there may be a little one in that cottage with a thatched top.
I don't want a child with a thatched top. Still, it is a good idea.
I agree, Anne. Will's work is definitely slipping. That last play of his, Romeo and Juliet, it was nothing but West Side Story without the music.
Alas, thou speakest the truth, Mr. Cabbage.
Burbage. Yeah.
But you've given me a thought. Now, my writing needs a new inspiration. I think I shall start work on an Elizabethan musical.
Ah, yes, and I shall play in it. How about a mask?
An excellent idea. People must be sick of your face by now.
An Elizabethan musical, yes. Fife, recorder.
How about the lute?
My agents look after that side bit.
And what will you call this musical?
Well, I shall call it Macbeth the Ninth.
And what if it fails, Will?
No need for concern. If it fails, then we shall take recourse to another means of earning a living. A more profitable one, too.
More profitable than playwriting? What can it be?
Yes, Will, what shall we do?
Flog bits of our cottage to the Americans.
That was Plain Cool, another sort of radio show which involved Ian Carmichael, Joan Sims, and Hugh Paddock. The cool music was provided by Rosemary Squires and the Mike Sam Singers, who were accompanied by the Ken Ford Orchestra. The script was by Eric Mediman, and the show was produced by John Simmons.